You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, and thank you very much for joining us again. This is our second edition of the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Tim and I would like to welcome you back, and we thank you for tuning in and sharing us with your friends. If you're listening in on darknessradio.com, thank you very much for checking us out on the net. Before we launch into tonight's show, Tim and I would just like to take a moment to extend our deepest sympathies to the godfather of paranormal radio, Mr. Art Bell. A few days ago, Art's wife passed away due to complications with asthma. And our thoughts and prayers are with you at this time from all of us at Darkness on the Edge of Town Radio, Art. Another thing I'd like to mention before we get going, during the show, we won't actually be able to accept any of your emails. We're good. Tim's a great producer here, but we're just not that technically advanced that I can get your emails on the air while we're doing this.
I'm all thumbs.
So if you have emails that you want to ask them, please email in before the show. I've got those already pulled. We will open up our phone lines. If you want to jot down the phone number right now, we'll be taking calls for author Annie Wilder and a little bit later in the middle of the show. You can call us at 612-375-1400. And one of you that calls in tonight with a question will get an autographed copy of Annie Wilder's book, which is what we're here to talk about tonight. Annie Wilder is the author of a book called House of Spirits and Whispers. And a little background on it is in 1994, Annie Wilder and her children moved into a 100-year-old house in a historic Mississippi River town. It was beautiful but spooky. The house had been on the market for 6 months with no offers, and it felt like and proved to be a very haunted house. Join us now is the author, Annie Wilder. Good evening, Annie.
Hi, Dave.
Thank you very much for joining us on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I want to just tell you, and I've mentioned it on my website and any place that people will listen to me talk about your book, you are one of the only two books that have actually creeped me out. Your book is phenomenal. The other book was a Stephen King novel, Pet Sematary, and your actual book of true stories is just gets under my skin. It was fantastically written and just eerie as hell.
Oh, thanks. That's very cool to hear.
Well, you know, and I'd like to set the tone with this for people that maybe have not had a chance to pick up the book yet. And I'm just going to read a little passage from the book, the one that just caught me and really trapped me and dragged me into the book for the rest of the read.
Okay.
And it's just fantastic. Here it goes. We had been instructed to enter by the back door. That's the part of the house where the old man had lived. It was where he still lived. Turns out he was watching us that day, too, silent and heavy as the air, bound to the earth and his former home. That is so beautifully written. The entire book is so amazing. I recommend if you haven't had a chance to pick it up, definitely get a chance. And I'm sure that once you've heard Annie talk tonight about her experiences in her actual haunted home, you're going to definitely want to pick it up. We do have a link on our website you can click on to actually order the book from us as well. Now, Annie, with us getting started, we do have a couple of pre-emailed questions from a few listeners. One thing I would like to know, though, with the stories, I was able to really link in with you because I'm a parent myself, and the fear factor you must have had at points when you've got two children living with you and these eerie things going on. Why don't you give us a little setup? How exactly did you come upon this house and you know, just kind of give us that story a little bit.
Okay, well, I really have always wanted an old house. I love old houses. And I was coming to sort of a turning point in my life. My kids were in high school, and I had been in a relationship that had just ended. And I decided I wanted to make some changes. And it was very odd because I had been looking for a house for over a year and had lost three houses that I thought I was going to get where I'd put an offer in, and they just sort of fell away at the last moment. And then 3 weeks from my move-out date for my house in Wisconsin, my realtor called, and he said, "You're not going to believe this, but this house that sounds like just what you're looking for just appeared on the multiple listing service." And he said, "There might be something wrong with it because it's really cheap for what it sounds like." And we pulled up, and as soon as we pulled up, you know, the house looked grand but sort of shabby from the outside. It definitely had seen better days. But as soon as we stepped inside, we both knew that we knew the reason why no one had made an offer on the house. And it just, you could tell that there was at least one ghost in the house. And it was very dark and very heavy. And I found out from, there had been an old man who lived in the house named Leon. And I found out from his daughter at the closing that she said the house had chosen me. And I thought that was really cool and odd. And I asked her what she meant. And she said, "Well, we had the house on the market for 6 months and no one made any offers. And then I got three offers within a week." And she said, her dad had died. That's why they sold the house. And she said, "I asked my dad's spirit, you know, who I should sell the house to, and I got the feeling that he wanted me to sell it to you, even though your offer wasn't the highest." So it seems to me like this house, I mean, I feel lucky that I got this house, but I think that it was sort of meant to happen.
That's amazing, yeah. That you had three other offers fall through, and then this house on the market for over 6 months with no offers until you put one in, and then three more pop in.
Exactly.
It seems like it was just the perfect timing for you.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, and I'd feel remiss in my duties as a radio professional if I didn't put you on the spot here with one question. Now, I read your book, fantastic book, and you describe yourself as kind of a free spirit, hippie-like lady.
Right.
So I've got to just ask you, you know, did any of these events occur after, you know, puffing on the peace pipe at any time?
Oh, no. That's a really good question, though.
Okay.
You're the first person who's asked me that, but it probably should be publicly stated. No, I'm not a recreational drug user at all and never have been.
Because in college, Tim and I, you know, we saw crazy things happen all the time. But we could attribute that to something else, I think.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, there have been so many things that have happened here when other people are here and in the daytime and with little kids. And, you know, it's this house is just a very energetically unusual house. And I feel like the house itself is unusual, and I don't know if it's super conducive to spirit activity or if because I'm sort of psychic, but not in the cool way where I can just tune in and help police solve crimes and stuff like that. Sometimes I see stuff, sometimes I hear stuff, and I get scared a lot, but I do feel lucky when things happen because I think it's really cool and I think it's interesting and I want to learn more about the spirit world. You know?
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take some questions from emailers and we'll take some phone calls here in a little bit. We're going to come back and hear a little bit more about your story and, you know, the initial moving into your house, but we're going to take a quick break right here. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our guest this evening is author Annie Wilder with her new true account book, House of Spirits and Whispers.
Riveted to the edge of your seat? Good. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
If you read Taps per Mag every month, You'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Tapspire Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboard are on. We're coming forward with the side stick. Looks good. I've got a blowout. Number three. Get your pitch to zero. Pitch is out. I can't hold altitude. Direction alpha hold is off. Trip selected. Emergency. Flight calm. I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking.
Dave.
You bastard!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set dip, shoot?
Better, stronger, faster.
Run, Thor!
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Tim, you're insane. That's a great bumper. This evening, our guest on the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show is author Annie Wilder with her brand new book, House of Spirits and Whispers, her true story of a haunted house that she actually lives in right now. Annie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
All right, now let's go. Now, you've found this house. The spirit of the owner, the previous owner, has just basically kind of given the nod to his daughter that you should be the one that gets the house. Now, you've purchased this house. You're moving in. Kind of take us through this, and let's not give away all the good scares, but, you know, kind of take me through your first couple of evenings there.
Okay, well, I didn't, when the realtor and I walked through the house, of course, I hadn't met Leon's daughter yet because I hadn't bought it, but walking through the house, you could tell this was a big old house. It had been turned into a triplex over time. My family and I have since turned it back into a single family home, but the old man had lived in the back apartment. And that's where you could feel, you know, it felt the most creepy. It felt the most like you were being watched. It felt like totally still and just heavy.
Now I have to ask you, you know, I'm a 6'1", 250-pound guy.
Yeah.
I walk into a house and I feel that kind of creepy mojo going.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. Now, you're a single mom at the time with two kids. How do you convince yourself, I can get over this?
Well, partly because I did go home and think about it for a few days and waited to see if I would have any weird dreams or, you know, like a different decision about it when I wasn't in the house, because this house is so magical and so cool. Even when it was dark and dingy and sort of still, I mean, you could see that this house was just so cool. Little corners and twists and turns and cupboards and stairways that led to nowhere and doors that opened to other doors and porches and open staircase.
It almost sounds like the Winchester House in California.
I have heard that so many times. Yeah, it's not quite that crazy, but it's the same type of thing where you just walk through it and you didn't know what you were going to find next. And I still have people who, I've lived here going on 12 years now, who come over and say that every time they come to my house, it feels like walls have moved and things have changed and they still get lost. I mean, there's just something really cool about this house.
What's great about your book, too, if I can mention, is that you actually map out the house in the first couple of pages so people can look and kind of get a feel for what you're talking about throughout this book, and that's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I actually have read other haunted house books where they're given a really precise description of the floor plan, but I have such weird spatial issues, you know, that unless I'm looking at a picture, I have a hard time, you know, understanding what they're trying to say. So I thought that would be super helpful, especially with this house, because it was so odd at the beginning. But I didn't feel like, if I would have felt like there was something evil in the house, I wouldn't have bought it. A spirit in a house isn't necessarily a bad thing, and this one did feel sort of heavy and gloomy, though, but I didn't think we had anything to really worry about. And the rest of the house, the farther away you got from the old man's part of the house, the lighter the house felt. And I was in sort of a pickle because I was 3 weeks away from the moving out date for my house, and I had no place to go. And this was like my dream house. It was just so cool. It was way beyond anything I thought I could afford. So, yeah, we moved in. And
now, how long after you moved in did that? I don't want to give away what the first event was, because that's what really creeped the crap out of me when I read your book, I got to be honest. But, I mean, how long had you been living there before your first event happened?
A week or two.
Now, see, for those of you that haven't read it, I'm doing you a favor. I mean, we could sit here, and nothing I hate more than getting all the spoilers and the trailers of a movie. I want you to read this book and just understand that there are some really creepy aspects. And you know what's actually great about it, Annie, is so much that it's not such, you know, cat jumping out of the closet creepy like they do in the movies.
Right.
But it's more, I really get the sense of your feelings. As a parent myself, like I said, when this first event happened, you become overwhelmed by this fear of what you're hearing and knowing that it might be near your children, but yet you were still unable to move or unable to, you know, you felt your duty as the adult was to get up and go check, but you're...
It took me 11 minutes to kick my butt out of bed and do it, but yeah.
And that, I could totally relate to that fear and could catch it. I mean, it was in my chest as I was reading it. I was, you know, it was that bracing moment that was, oh my God, would I get up and go check? I, you know.
Yeah.
Now, what was that, Annie?
I don't know. And actually, that has happened a lot when I've done interviews. And I bought a new phone before this whole publicity tour. So we'll see.
Now, I do want to mention to you, now, for the people that are listening, Annie has had spirits get on the phone and make noises and giggle and talk, so if you hear something creepy coming over, it's not just Tim.
Is Tim on the air, too?
Tim's with me here in the studio.
Okay.
He's kind of our board monkey and producer. Say hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
There we go.
There you go, yeah.
He runs the boards and produces the show and does all the fun commercials you hear in and out of the segues.
Oh, God, those are they're really good.
Well, thank you.
Your commercials, I think because of the coffee, I had that last one just about put me right out of my skin. So.
All right, so now let's get back into this. Now, you have this event happen, and now you were terrified during the event. How did you push yourself past this, that this is okay, I can live here?
Well, because for one thing, we were still all okay. It was a scary event, and it was weird, and it made me realize that there was at least one ghost in the house, and it sounded like more than one ghost. But I decided that one thing I should do is try to find out more about Leon, the old guy who lived here.
Sure.
And the other one was, I guess, just because, you know, I didn't feel like there was something evil. I felt like Leon was angry about something, and he was trying to get our attention. He had some, without giving anything away, he had some unfinished business to take care of. And then he also, and after that got, you know, taken care of, he stuck around for other reasons that were a little more surprising. So, and he is still in the house. But
so you don't give it away. I don't want to know who's still there. I mean, I know because I've read the book, but let's just say
there's lots of spirits coming and going.
Excellent. Now, you also, let's mention, you live, as if it isn't creepy enough, you've got this haunted house with an old man's ghost in there that doesn't want to give up the ship. You live across the street from a funeral parlor.
Right.
Now, you getting some residual effect? Are they coming over and checking out because they hear the ghosts at the neighboring house have great parties or what?
Well, according to Echo Bodine, who is a pretty well-known ghostbuster, she said that spirits do like to be in house where there are other spirits. Even though they don't generally interact with each other, they just sort of like being in a place where there are other spirits. And spirits will also go go to places that they like the energy. So therefore, if you have like someone who was chemically dependent or something in their life, they might hang out at a bar. But she said that the spirits, she found a bunch of ghosts when she was here, but she said that all of them that were here liked to be here. They liked us. And she said that living across from the funeral home, we probably do get checked out our house by a lot of spirits. And I said, okay, how do the spirits check us out, or how do they know there are other spirits here? And she said, well, they probably, you know, as they go by your house, they can just look in and see. And one of the guys who interviewed me for a different a radio show in a different state asked me how I felt about that. Like if I felt that my privacy was being invaded, or how I could even take a shower or anything.
I was going to say, after reading the book, Tim won't shower in anything but his underwear now.
I don't do that anyway.
Don't shower. Yeah, I was a little nervous about it. And then I thought, you know, they can probably look right through me and see what I had for lunch if they really wanted to. So there's probably really no privacy anyway with ghosts.
Wow, that just ruined the sex life of a lot of people out there. All right. Well, go into this real quickly, and then we're going to go to another break here. But so now you've had these events happen. How many spirits would you say at any one given time actively are in your home, at least during the time of this book being written?
Oh, I would say that there are two that are regular spirits here, two that come by more often than others, and there have been like five or six at least different spirits in the house, more if you count the ones that Echo Bodine found.
Okay, and then have any of them been more of a darker nature?
There was one, yes, actually there were two different incidents that were darker.
Good. Well, let's talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our guest this evening is Annie Wilder, the author of House of Spirits and Whispers.
Would you like to contact a loved one who has crossed over to the other side? Do you worry about your own health issues or those of a loved one? Are you curious about your relationships and your career? If any of these questions have crossed your mind recently, then this is an experience that you cannot miss. Come join me, Jessalyn Devereaux, on Saturday, April 1st, as I host the Meet the Psychics, Meet the Healers Day at the Minneapolis Learning Annex. Just go online today to www.professionalangel.com to register and find out more. Renew yourself with this day that's sure to inspire miracles and change your life. The day is filled with psychic readings, seminars, and spiritual healing sessions. Plus, everyone who attends will receive a free, complimentary mini-reading. So go online today to www.professionalangel.com or call 651-208-6452. That's 651-208-6452.
Women today are busier than ever, making it harder and harder to take care of ourselves. I'm Robin Leverton, owner of Ciao Bella Permanent Cosmetics in Brooklyn Park. We specialize in beautiful, natural-looking eyeliner, eyebrows, and lip color. We provide professional and personalized service in a sanitary environment. When you choose Ciao Bella, you are guaranteed the gentlest method available. I'll work with you one-on-one to help you achieve your desired look. We offer a full, rich color palette that will accentuate your natural beauty. If you have allergies to conventional makeup, suffer from hay fever, watery eyes, or the embarrassment of little or faint brow color, and you want a look that will stay fresh all day, every day, then we have the perfect solution for you. Time is a rare commodity, and with Ciao Bella Permanent Cosmetics, we help you take control of your time by giving you a low-maintenance, fresh appearance that you will love every day. Book your appointment by January 31st, and you will receive a 25% discount. You deserve to look your best, and at Ciao Bella, we want to help you. Call 612-306-4961. That's 612-306-4961.
Jeff Rusterholz with Edina Realty understands that the housing market is changing, and he's prepared to work with you to put together an aggressive plan to ready your home and help you sell quickly. It's Jeff's goal as your full-service real estate agent specializing in the Twin Cities to provide you with superior service at all times. His local expertise and extensive real estate experience will benefit you whether you're serious about buying or selling a home. By taking time to really listen to your needs and desires, Jeff Rusterholz with Edina Realty will help you find the home of your dreams. And if you're selling a home, his real estate expertise and many effective marketing programs will give you the exposure and edge you need to sell your home quickly and for top dollar. Jeff prides himself on providing unparalleled service, and he looks forward to developing a long-term relationship with you. Visit him online at movewithjeff.com for more details, or call 651-690-8479 to get started on securing your future. That number again, 651-690-8479.
They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening and welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. This is Dave Schrader. Our guest tonight is Annie Wilder. She's the author of the true story of a haunted house called House of Spirits and Whispers. And just before we went to break with Annie, she was just telling us that she had two spirits that have been in the house that are more on the dark side.
Right. The first encounter was actually a spirit that I just called Dark Man because...
Let's give this one away. I want you to give a little bit of a bite so these people can kind of get the creepiness of this event, and then we'll skirt the issue on other things, but we don't want to get pelted with rocks on the way out of here tonight, so let's give them a little something juicy.
that's good. Okay, well, Dark Man was just a spirit, but usually I have seen a few spirits here, and the ones that I've seen... I just figured were the spirits of people who had been alive. When I saw Dark Man, I actually didn't know if he had ever been like a human being. But I woke up one night and he was beside my bed, leaned up against the wall. And he did look like a human, but his energy didn't seem human. And he had dark, really oily hair and, sort of olive-toned skin, also very oily, and he was wearing black. And the weird thing was, even his clothes looked like they were sort of shimmering with an oily sheen. And that was the first time I saw something that really scared me in the house. And he was sort of, you know, kicked up alongside the wall and just smirking as the wrong word, but it was almost a smirk looking down at me. And then he just blinked out, took about, I don't know, probably just a couple seconds to disappear. But
when you mentioned that in the book, now I'm getting the image, you've said in the book that most of the other ones would just kind of vanish.
Yeah.
Now this, I'm getting the impression it's almost like a blinking, like a flickering electric light that's getting ready to blow out.
It
keeps blinking back and forth between light and dark.
That's probably the exact connotation that anyone should have when they read the word blink. But it actually wasn't like that. It was more just like he took more time to fade out. When I've seen other spirits, they're there and then they're gone. But this one, it was like he dragged it out.
So he was more of a showman, yeah.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody, and thanks for visiting. So did he speak with you at all?
No. Nope, he didn't.
Now, was that the only time that the Dark Man had an encounter with you?
No. The Dark Man actually showed up in one of my dreams, and it turned out to be a really important dream. It was a dream in which I got a message that something was going to happen in a week, something very important, and my Grandma Dory was in the dream, and she is my Irish grandma, who is mentioned in the book a lot. And she's one of the spirits that I have the most contact with, I feel like. And she, in the dream, she said something very important was going to happen in a week. And the weird thing is, in this dream, Dark Man was, like, totally innocuous. He was a spectator at a baseball game, and he was still all oily and dark, but he was wearing a pair of shorts, and he just looked totally not evil, you know? But something did happen in our family a week later that was, you know, really huge. And so I don't know. I actually think that it was just, you know, I thought at first, is this Dark Man trying to, is this my own mind trying to take him down a notch so that I'm not scared if I ever see him again? Or is he trying to show me that he's not a bad guy? And I did talk to a psychic named Patrick Matthews, and he said that he connected with the spirits in my house, and he seemed like the real deal to me. And he said that Dark Man was not someone who was in the house very much. He just visited, and he wasn't someone I had to worry about. So that...
Excellent.
That made me feel good. The other experience, I don't know how much you feel like I should reveal here, but I did have one experience in the house that was very bad, and that involved being pinned down in my bed.
I would like to talk to you about that one, because I want to address this. I know there's a lot of listeners who've heard this, and I want to address this to you as maybe an answer for you, because as I read this part of the book, I just was at a conference where they explained this phenomenon. So I'd like to talk to you about it and maybe hopefully answer the question of some of the listeners out there as well.
Okay.
So why don't we'll hold on to that and we'll come into it after the next break. We're going to take some phone calls. So we will be able to be open for the listeners at our phone number 612-375-1400. And Annie, we're getting kind of weird chirping, screeching noises coming from your phone. What's going on?
I don't know.
Do we have somebody that wants to talk to us from your house there, Annie?
That would be cool.
Come on, I'm willing. Let's let them talk.
Well, you sent the invitation out. I'd like to modify that down to anyone friendly.
Well, no, they're at your house. It's okay if they're not friendly to us. We just don't be nice to her, though. Okay. We will. We'll come back in a minute here, and we're going to talk to author Annie Wilder, the author of The True Story of a Haunted House, House of Spirits and Whispers. And we'll be taking your phone calls. We're going to answer some of the email questions that we have here. And thank you for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Taking calls for our guests right now at 612-375-1400. The darkness is closing in. Be sure to get your question in quick.
If you read Taps per Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps per Mag takes you where few would ever go. On purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
That raises a good question, doesn't it, Annie? Maybe it's just Dave and Tim raiding your refrigerator.
That would be scary.
That would be scarier than any of the ghosts you have there, huh? All right, we're back with author Annie Wilder. She is the author of a really fantastic book called House of Spirits and Whispers. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Before we went to break, we were talking about a second event that was kind of creepy that happened to Annie, and I wanted you to mention it. And again, my explanation that I have for you may not be specific to what happened to you, but I think there are a lot of people out there that have had this occur and may want an answer. So we'll go ahead and let's hear your events that that occurred on that night.
Okay, this was the, as far as I was concerned, the worst event that ever happened in my house. And there were other scary events, but this one felt personal. And what happened was I woke up and I was being pinned down in my bed, and I felt like it was a male entity of some sort. I couldn't see anything. It didn't feel like a... It didn't feel like it was a ghost. It just felt like some weird, bad male energy. And I was trying to, like, get free, wake myself up, scream, yell, you know, anything. And when whatever it was finally let go of me, and one of my girlfriends was like, it's I can't remember what it's called. It's like some sexual demon. And I said, maybe, but it didn't do anything sexual, but it was definitely about domination and power, because when it finally let go of me, it was just like, it wasn't anything I did. It was just that it decided to let go. And I sat up in bed and I was so furious that I just took my elbow and just pounded the bed behind me. And this is now sitting up wide awake. I felt a tongue in my ear, and that was so nasty and so such a violation. I mean, it still really, really ticks me off. And that, I don't really give a lot of energy to talking about that. I mean, I did put it in the book because it happened, and I do tell the story, but I don't dwell on that because it has never happened again. And if that was the kind of thing that I was experiencing in this house, then I wouldn't still be here. It did happen one time, but yeah. So what was your experience?
Well, the reason that I mentioned that, a lot of people are familiar with sleep paralysis. Now, yeah. I was curious, how long did your event take place? I mean, was it, for how long did you feel pinned down to the bed?
I have had sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. I think that's a form, in my opinion, it's a form of astral projection where you're not quite all the way back in your body and you're not all the way out.
Okay.
And when I was back in the back bedroom, Leon's old room, I think some of the stuff I was experiencing was a form of sleep paralysis. But this felt like there was an identity, like there was someone there.
But how long were you actually physically pinned down? Was it a matter of 20 seconds, 2 minutes?
Maybe a minute or two.
Okay. The reason I ask and the reason I want to bring this up, we're getting some chirping again. Welcome to the radio show, Leon, or whoever's with us. Glad to have you a part of the show. Part of what that is, and let me just answer this. We did it at a conference. Adam Bly, who's a psychologist at Penn State, gave a great explanation for this, and it might help ease some people's fears of what happens during sleep paralysis. There is the part of the brain that actually secretes this
chemical
into your body that will actually keep you paralyzed at night. So because your brain can't discern between real and dreams, so you're not running in bed, you're not beating up your brother or whatever else is going on, your body actually is paralyzed for that time. And sometimes when you wake up too quickly, your body's still pumping that solution into your veins and you're not able to come out of it, and it gives you that feeling of being bogged down, or as they call, hagging.
Right.
So that is, and I understand with yours, it's different. You sat up and somebody stuck their tongue in your ear, which is a little bit more disconcerting. But for people out there that might be having the sleep paralysis, the way to know that it's most likely just sleep paralysis and your body's way of coming out of this is usually if it fades within about 20 seconds and can go to about a minute to 2 minutes, but usually not much longer than that. If you start to feel it or feel, you know, they're shaking you or doing something, then there's usually something more attached to it. So hopefully that does help people out a little bit. Now we do have, let me get to a quick question here that I have from one of the listeners that emailed into us. Her name is Meg in Connecticut. And she says, Annie, I'm also a parent going through a haunting, and I have two very young children. What do you recommend that I explain to them without frightening them?
That is a really good question. I would talk to them about, I would ask them about their experiences and ask them about their dreams so that, you know, as a mom, she can find out what they're experiencing. And I would be, I'm not a professional or anything, but
sure.
My kids were teenagers, and that did give me a feeling of more security because they're older and they can tell me stuff and they don't seem quite as vulnerable. But with little kids, depending on the kind of activity that was going on, if it's little friendly stuff like a light being switched on or a door shutting or something, I would just be really matter-of-fact about it and be like, oh, we have a friendly house spirit. If there's scary stuff going on, I would, even if I didn't have little kids, but especially if I had little kids, I would I would bless the house, and I would call in a psychic if the house blessing didn't seem to take care of it.
Great. We've got one phone call on hold right now. We'll take that, and then we're going to wrap it up with a break again here, and we'll come back. We've got G on the line. Is it G or Gee?
Gee.
Okay, I'm going to let you talk real quick here. Gee, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. I was wondering, do you think that the former owner of the house is using you as kind of a conduit to relay some sort of a message? And that's my first question. Second question is, one of the earlier stories you mentioned, a dark individual. Do you think that's related to the shadow people phenomenon? And then I'll just listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Key.
Thanks. Yeah, I think I was being used as a conduit because Leon had some stuff that he needed taken care of here, and we, you know, we found out what it was and took care of it, and that, you know, he showed up right after that. So that's one of the bigger stories in the book.
Sure.
And then the second part, I have read a little bit about shadow people, but could you tell me more? Because I don't think Dark Man was a shadow person, but because I could see features and all that clearly. Sure. But I did see one night when I was at the stove making soup, I thought I saw someone in the doorway between the living room and the dining room. And when I turned, and this was, you know, just had come home from work, wasn't thinking about ghosts or anything, I saw this big, dark blob that was about, I don't know, 5'10" feet tall, or, you know, 5'10" or something. And it just, I mean, I was looking at it thinking, like, what? And then it sort of scurried across the corner of the room and went into the front hallway. And I called, you know, my beau and just said, stay on the phone with me because either there's a ghost or there's somebody in my house. But I'm like, I just, you know, it was pretty weird to see a blob of darkness, like, scoot across the room.
Well, we've got some more questions from emailers and another call we'll be taking in a few minutes. We're going to go to break. We're right now on the middle of the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show with our special guest, Annie Wilder, with her book, House of Spirits and Whispers.
Would you like to contact a loved one who has crossed over to the other side? Do you worry about your own health issues or those of a loved one? Are you curious about your relationships and your career? If any of these questions have crossed your mind recently, then this is an experience that you cannot miss. Come join me, Jessalyn Devereaux, on Saturday, April 1st, as I host the Meet the Psychics, Meet the Healers Day at the Minneapolis Learning Annex. Just go online today to www.professionalangel.com to register and find out more. Renew yourself with this day that's sure to inspire miracles and change your life. The day is filled with psychic readings, seminars, and spiritual healing sessions. Plus, everyone who attends will receive a free, complimentary mini reading. So go online today to www.professionalangel.com or call 651-208-6452. That's 651-208-6452.
Now it's your turn.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. This is Dave Schrader along with our special guest, Annie Wilder, author of the book House of Spirits and Whispers. Annie, we've got some more emails here we're going to try to answer. We've got about 5-6 minutes left in the show, so we'll try to get through them quickly for you.
Okay.
The next one is from Ginger Faith, and she would like to know, what inspired you to begin to write your book?
I have always wanted to be a writer. That was my dream since I was a young kid. And I eventually gave up the dream of writing a book because I had, like, short stories that I'd been working on for 18 years that I never finished. And I was asked by a friend of mine who worked at Llewellyn Publishing if I wanted to write a book. And I said, yes. And she said, how about one on crystals? And I said, I don't know anything about crystals. How about my haunted house? And she said, yeah. And I submitted a proposal, and I got a contract and a deadline. And that was what I needed to finish a book.
Great. Well, thank you for the question, Ginger. Our next question comes from Robin Bailey. She's also known on the boards as I Live to Write. She wants to know, she read that you knew beforehand that the show, or that the house was, that you bought was haunted, yet you still bought it. And she wanted to know what the motivation was for that. And, why did it capture your attention? And then when you bought it, did you know that you wanted to write a book about these possible experiences?
The first part, this house was just so groovy. If anyone has a, you know, an artistic, you know, personality or imagination or anything, I think they would have walked into this house and just been as blown away as I was. And I moved from a little tiny, like, sort of Cape Cod house, tiny, into this grand old Victorian that had been the kind of house I always wanted. And so as long as I felt that the ghost that was here wasn't evil, which I didn't think, and I actually had a really good dream about this house before we moved in. I felt okay about moving in. And I was told by a psychic, I think the psychic that I called when our cat Theo was standing up on his hind legs and acting really odd, that I was supposed to get this house, I was going to learn about it. It was going to help my writing, but I, at that time I wasn't thinking about writing a book. And so no, but I did keep notes. I do write down dreams, and I write down odd events, and I just wrote them in my date book all the time. And so when it was time for me to write the book, I had notes to refer back to.
Great. And Robin, we thank you for that question. We're going to send you out an autographed copy of Annie Wilder's book, House of Spirits and Whispers. Next question that we have is from Lucky Lady, and she says, Annie, the book was great, but it can't possibly end there. Is there another book in the future? And she also wants to know how often you're visited by the ghosts in your home. Is it daily, weekly, et cetera? And do you have any new experiences to share?
Okay, well, thanks for the compliment. I am going to, in fact, I just started on New Year's Eve working on a second book, and that is going to be all of the stuff that didn't make it in the first book. It's going to be experiences that have happened since the book came out, and also stories from my family, both sides of my family, and new stories that I've gotten about the neighborhood and my house from neighbors. And if that all adds up to an interesting book, then it will be out. I'm feeling optimistic because there's lots of stories. And let's see, what was the other question with that?
It was how often are you visited by the ghosts in your home, daily, weekly?
Well, I would say weekly. It's been lately. The dark time of the year is the most, from like September through December is the most intense, and then it sort of tapers off. But we, me and my cats, get spirit stuff going all throughout the year. You know, two of my young cousins spent the night on Friday. They're 9 and 11, and they slept in one of the guest rooms in the same bed. And I left a lamp on in their room, and then I went to bed at midnight. They'd gone to bed earlier and decided to leave the lamp on in case they woke up so they wouldn't be scared, and got up the next morning, and the lamp was turned off. And I asked them if either one, they were not up before me, and I asked them if they had turned off the lamp, and neither one had. And I thought, well, maybe it burned out. And I went over and turned it on, and it worked just fine. And that's the kind of thing, you know, little stuff or footsteps or lights going off and on. Those are the friendly ghost things.
Great. Well, I thank you very much for sharing your time with us tonight, Annie. I know time went by really quickly on us. We'd love to have you back in the future, if that's okay with you.
I'd love to come back.
Thank you very much to Annie Wilder, the author of House of Spirits and Whispers. I'd like to thank our guest, Annie Wilder, for sharing her stories with us. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Tri-Minnesota Mortgage, Jeff Rusterholz with Edina Realty, Taps Paramagazine, Jesselyn Devereaux with ProfessionalAngel.com, Rocky Shores, and Chow Bella Permanent Cosmetics. Also to my partner and producer, Tim Dennis. Special note of thanks to Evolve Systems for their excellent job as they do hosting and maintaining our website so that you can listen to us every week on DarknessRadio.com. Make sure you tune in next week when our guest is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, speaker, instructor, and author of over 30 books on the paranormal. Thank you for listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town and DarknessRadio.com. This is Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, hoping to hear you again back with us next week.